Night and Your Legal Rights.
This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. We're doing our Landlord-Tenant Laws and Issues program, which we try to do about every 6 weeks or so. My guests are Landlord-Tenant Attorney James Coy Driscoll, who primarily represents tenants. Is that right?
Only.
His offices are in San Francisco. My other guest is Salvatore Timpano. Salvatore, who do you represent primarily?
I represent primarily landlords, but I do take tenant cases
as well.
Do you?
Yes. So you have some graciousness in you.
There are good tenants out there.
Okay. Salvatore Timpano has offices also in San Francisco. Funding for this particular segment of Your Legal Rights is made possible by the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco and by the San Mateo County Bar Association. Your Legal Rights is also funded by the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar and the Family Law Section of the State Bar. Well, gentlemen, we were talking before we went on the air about rent prices going up into the sky. What's going on, Sal?
Well, perhaps within the last year and a half, rents in San Francisco have almost doubled. In some parts of the city, they've doubled. Some of it has to do with new landlords coming in, new businesses coming in, and higher salaries throughout the Bay Area, and it's translating into higher rents. It's causing a lot of friction between landlords and long-term tenants because the long-term tenants want to keep their rent-controlled rates, and the landlords would like to get some of the new rent money that's floating around town. So it's causing a bit of a ruckus in the city.
So what is happening? What are landlords trying to do to either get their tenants to pay more or to get their tenants out of the unit so that they can rent to other people?
Well, it's more of not so much renting to other people, but landlords are trying to displace their tenants in order to sell units rather than rent units.
Mm-hmm.
And not all landlords, not all properties are going to work for that. But a lot of landlords are considering just getting out of the rental business and selling the properties as apartments, TICs.
I see. And there are they. Well, how do they do that? I mean, under California law, does the general California law apply to this? I mean, we had the Ellis relocation law, but does that apply here?
Well, the Ellis relocation statutes are what allow landlords to displace a tenant or mm-hmm. evict a tenant. It's one of the just causes under the San Francisco rent ordinance
yes.
to displace a tenant. Then the rent ordinance applies its own rules to that state law and requires relocation assistance payments. Mm-hmm. And my colleague here, Coy, brought in a new ordinance amendment. He might
which became effective June 1st of this year. What does it do, Coy?
Well, first of all, before we get to that, Chuck, I'd like to respond to the question you put to Sal. What landlords do sometimes, certainly not your client, Sal.
We would hope not.
They lie.
Not, Sal.
They lie. They say they're going to move into the unit and make it their primary home. They say they want to take it out of rental service, residential rental usage, and then they turn around and rent to someone else.
Which is a fraud, actually. They're defrauding people, are they not?
Yes. And what happens is that you get a lot of people who don't follow up on the property to see what's happened to it.
Yes.
And, you know, it's easier to battle when you have the money in your pocket. Yeah. So once the landlords get the people out, they're then at a great disadvantage.
Sure. Wow.
And there are stiff penalties for landlords that claim to move in or want to move in and then don't.
Yes.
There are stiff penalties, and if they're discovered, that they're going to probably lose everything that they gained.
Well, and in fact, it's a doing a fraudulent eviction is a misdemeanor. I don't know that the DA's prosecuted in a while, but that's always something that landlords should keep in the back of their heads. As to this new enactment, what had happened before was as to any non-fault evictions, where it's not because the tenant didn't pay rent or did something wrong to breach the rental agreement, but non-fault, where the landlord wants to move in, or Ellis Act, there was a schedule of payments that were due for evicting the tenants. And now the Board of Supervisors has passed an ordinance effective the 1st of June of this year that the payment has to be either the greater of that schedule or 2 months of the difference, the swing between what the apartment's going for now and what a similar apartment would go for.
Can you give us 2 years?
For 2 years.
Can you give us an example using some monetary figures?
Sure.
So we can understand this.
Sure. Let's say,
or at least so I can understand it.
let's say one of the things I've seen lately. I saw some statistics. One bedrooms are going for $2,000 to $2,500. Two bedrooms are going for about $3,500, and excuse me, I misspoke. There, two bedrooms are going for over $4,000.
Wow.
So let's say you have a two-bedroom apartment and you've lived there forever. You're paying, $1,500 a month.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the difference, and I think I could do this with keeping my shoes on, is 25, so I don't have to count.
Cheating. Keep your shoes on.
Yeah,
okay, no
you
cheating.
Guys are watching me.
Uh-uh.
So it's $2,500 a month times 24.
Ooh.
Yeah, so that's a pretty big hit.
$60,000.
Yeah.
Whoa. That's incredible.
Yeah. Now, under the old system or the alternate system that existed before this, the payments were capped at around between $15,000 and $16,000, as adjusted each year per unit. And then you could have increases of about $3,000 each for having a minor there, for anybody who was senior or disabled.
Mm-hmm.
And it could easily get up to about $30,000.
Under the old system.
Right.
This is San Francisco now.
Right. And, okay. And this is only property subject to the rent ordinance, which means properties built after before June 13th, 1979. So if you have a brand new building, you have no protection as a tenant.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just like you're in Brisbane or wherever where state law applies.
What about for the rest of the state under state law with regard? I mean, the Ellis Act is a state law.
Wait, what the Ellis Act really is a restriction on local actions, because historically what happened was Santa Monica was one of the more controlled rent control cities, and they would not let a landlord go out of the landlord business. The state legislature didn't like that.
Yeah.
They enacted the Ellis Act to say, yes, you can.
I see. Okay.
The Ellis Act is really a response to rent-controlled ordinances.
I see.
If there's no rent-controlled ordinance, you don't need the Ellis Act.
I see.
As a landlord.
I see. You can just give 60 days notice or 30 days if they've been there a year or less.
Under state law.
Under state law.
That's very interesting.
San Francisco, Berkeley, Oakland, you have a rent ordinance to deal with.
Any other aspects on this that you want to talk about before I let people know what's going on here? Okay. All right. It is our Call a Lawyer night. I see that we do have some attorneys who are ready, willing, and able for you in the conference room. The number is 1-800-525-9917. What we tried to do, if you've done this with us before, is have a number of different legal areas that you can call and speak to attorneys off the air on. We have workers' compensation law, criminal law, legal malpractice law. I don't see the family law attorney yet. I don't know if she's here or not. I can't see that. We do have a couple of landlord-tenant attorneys. We have tax law, real estate broker. And then tomorrow, I will give you later in the program, I'll give you the phone number to call for Leon Bayer if you're being hassled by your creditors. He's a certified specialist in bankruptcy law and be happy to talk to you tomorrow. So for Call a Lawyer now, it's 1-800-525-9917. If you want to talk to my guests on the air, it's 1-415-841-4134. 1-415-841-4134. This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. We're doing our regular program that we try to do about every 6 weeks or so, Landlord-Tenant Laws and Issues. If you've tuned in the last few minutes, my guests who are landlord-tenant attorneys are Salvatore Timpano. He represents principally landlords, but will take a tenant's case now and then.
Sure.
And my other guest, who only deals with tenants, represents tenants, is James Coy Driscoll. So if you'd like to talk with them, they're here willing and ready to talk with you about whatever issue you may have in the area of landlord-tenant. So with this this new ordinance that you talked about that deals with rent, the new ordinance that San Francisco has passed with regard to the Ellis relocation, that increases the penalty substantially.
Well, it's not a penalty.
Well,
it depends on whose ox is being gored, I understand.
That's right.
But
that's
it increases the relocation funds available to the tenant.
All right. Any other major issue before? Well, wait a minute. We've got Ken here. Ken, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hey there.
Go ahead.
All right. This is great. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Thanks for picking up the phone.
Sure.
All right. So, well, this is the first time I've called in to a program like this, so I guess I just tell you what's going on with me and see what you guys think.
Well, don't give us too long a story, Ken, but go ahead.
Okay. Well, basically, I in June, I signed a year lease with a landlord that was supposed to start on June 20th. And when I started bringing my boxes in, you know, a couple days after that, around June 22nd, June 23rd, the apartment was still in the same state it was as it was when I signed the lease 3 weeks prior. And that is, there was plaster dust still coming off of the walls. Like when you touch the walls, your hands are white with dust. And there are still wires coming out of holes in the kitchen wall where outlets are supposed to go. So I let the landlord know this on the 23rd of June, and the lease had started on the 20th. And he said that he would try to get to it that weekend, which would be the 27th. And he said if he couldn't get to it, I could try using the empty apartment's kitchen next door until he did get to it.
What city is this in, Ken?
This is in Oakland.
Oakland, okay.
And
what do you? Well, by the way, if you don't mind my asking, just so that we put this in the proper perspective, what is the monthly rental on this property?
$1,625.
Well, hey, if those wires had been properly placed and if there wasn't stuff coming off the walls, he might have been charging you $1,800 or $2,000 a month. What are you complaining about, Ken?
Exactly. What am I going to complain about, right? Well, basically, the deal was on the 28th, when I went there one more time, nothing had changed. And he had told me that I would have to take care of the wall problem myself by taking a wet sponge and sponging down the walls, as well as, using the kitchen next door. And so basically, this is the 28th. He had already cashed my deposit check. And I just said to myself, I feel like he did not keep up his part of the lease. So I basically took all of my stuff that I brought up out of there, called him on the phone and let him know that I would not be going further with this lease because I feel he didn't keep his end of the bargain and I wanted my money back.
By the way, Ken, is this apartment under rent control in Oakland?
I don't know. It is an old, beautiful, like, craftsman mansion.
Then it is.
It is.
Definitely from the early 20th century.
Okay. So how many units in this building would you say?
There are 11 units.
11 units. And how much money did you give this landlord altogether?
It was prorated from June 20th to June 30th plus 2 months' worth of money for a deposit, so around $3,800.
Oh, my goodness. Has he said that he would give you any of that money back?
Well, I started to tell him that on the phone conversation when I let him know I wasn't going to be doing this anymore, and he hung up on me after yelling at me. So all I have for him is his address and his phone number. So what I did the next day was I text messaged him and CC'd my own email so I could have some sort of text proof.
Yeah.
And I haven't heard anything.
Yeah, I would think not. This is not good.
I'm not sure what to do because I've tried calling up a couple of numbers I found online for rental boards, and I really haven't gotten any response. And
I have some ideas for you, Ken.
Okay.
What you should do, first of all, is I know everybody lives in their smartphone, but there's this wonderful thing called Certified Mail Return Receipt Requested, creates a wonderful paper trail. And what you want to do is send him a letter telling him that he breached the agreement, that it's a material breach, that you gave, you know, basically tell the story that you told to us. Don't call him any bad names in this because this is the letter you're going to be showing to a judge someday.
Exhibit A.
This is Exhibit A.
Exactly. Right. Okay. And then when he crumples that up and throws it away, what you do is you go to small claims court and you sue him for the money.
Yeah. You know, one of the other things, Ken, that I want to mention to you, because this is a lot of money, $3,800, and this guy is just, I think he's just a cheater.
He's not one of my clients.
No,
Chuck.
Thank God. Thank God he's not one of Sal's clients. I think also what you might want to do, because, Ken, you've got a big investment in this and you want to protect it, I'm going to give you the phone number for the Alameda County Bar Association. Ask them, I'll give you the phone number in just a moment, ask them to set you up with an appointment with an attorney who represents tenants in landlord-tenant cases for half an hour. I think it's like $35. It's a great way to start educating yourself. That number for the Alameda County Bar, and then ask for lawyer referral, is 510-302-2222. Yeah, you really need to sit down, pardon me, with a lawyer and nose to nose and really get some good direction as what Coy has done. We can't give you on the air here all of the direction that you may need, but that's what you need to do. And with regard to there is a rent board in Oakland, is there not?
Yeah, there is. Yes.
What would you recommend he do with respect to the rent board, if anything?
Nothing.
Nothing. Okay. All right.
Do what I told him to do.
Okay.
Certified letter.
All right. Okay. Ken, good luck to you.
Thanks a lot.
This guy sounds to me like a scammer. He's a real scammer, and he led you along, and frankly, that's just really awful. So I'm sorry to hear this, but be an aggressive consumer. It sounds like you can be, and good luck to you.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. Take care. All right. We've got Catherine. Welcome to Your Legal Rights, Catherine.
Hi. How are you?
Hi.
I'm calling because of unrelenting harassment from my landlord. I should preface our case by saying that I've lived in our home with my two children since 1989, and so 25 years. And one of my children, who's now 27, is severely disabled, and I'm also getting up there in age. I'm covered, under certain rights as well. Recently, one of the most recent thing that has been going on is that last December I had a sewage leak from the upstairs tenant into my bathroom through the bathroom light.
Oh boy.
I immediately called the fire department, 911, because water and electricity do not mix.
Ooh.
And they came in, did an assessment, told me not to use the light until I had it assessed by an electrician, a certified electrician. I called my landlord, I faxed my landlord, I emailed my landlord. He wrote me back saying that he would try to get in touch with his contractor. As I said, my son is disabled. I need light in the bathroom. And to be able to get him from one end to the other so that he can use the facilities. And we rely on this light, felt it was an urgent situation. After 7 days of him emailing me and faxing me again, saying that he has now chosen to go another route with other electricians who are not answering the phone and is having trouble getting somebody into the home. I decided to hire my own electrician.
Mm-hmm.
And resolve the issue, put in new power feeds and luminaires is what it's called, I guess. I also called San Francisco building inspector so that they could document this as well. And what my electrician did not require a permit, and everybody was quite adamant about that. About 6 months later, the same thing happened again. I had a call in, and I should also say that I paid for the bill, and I presented the bill to my landlord, and he initially said, we do not reimburse. And I said, well, I said, I can deduct twice a year from my rent.
Let me stop you, Catherine, just for a moment. Don't go away, because what I want to do at this point, Joanne, I want to take a very brief break. Don't go away, Catherine, please.
Okay.
All right, this is our Call a Lawyer night, by the way, and let me give you the number again. You can talk to an attorney off the air while we're doing the live program with people, with listeners calling in on the air here. That number is 1-800-525-9917. 1-800-525-9917. This is a great public service. The attorneys who are here, and I'll let you know who they are in a few minutes, but we have a variety of legal areas that you can talk to an attorney off the air about. No obligation on your part whatsoever. It's just a great service that we've been doing, these lawyers have been doing, many of them, for a number of years. So 1-800-525-9917 if you want to talk to my guests on the air. It's 1-415-841-4134. 1-415-841-4134. This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. Landlord-Tenant Laws and Issues is our topic. My guests are James Coy Driscoll and Salvatore Timpano, who are very experienced landlord-tenant attorneys. Catherine, what city is your rental in?
San Francisco.
And may I ask, what are you paying per month for this?
$1,500.
$1,500. So you're under rent control, are you not?
Correct.
And
yeah.
So it sounds to me like your landlord is very anxious to have you leave that. So, and that's why what's going on here. But go ahead. I cut you off. Go ahead.
Okay. So did in fact reimburse me for the money that I paid out to the electrician. 6 months later, the same scenario took place again. I again called 911. The fire department came in again and said, do not touch this light until you have it assessed, et cetera. Provided all the paperwork to the landlord, contacted the landlord in the same way that I did the first time. Again, contacted San Francisco building inspectors. They came out and inspected the light fixture as well, and contacted the same electrician that I used. Because I saw that the landlord was going to play the same game.
Let me do this, Catherine. I want to try to get from you your question. What is your question?
Well, since that time, since then, the San Francisco building inspector brought in the San Francisco electrician inspector, because he feared that something, that he feared for the wires in the ceiling. That getting wet, that
may be serious, yeah.
And also just, and he also questioned to bring in public help. So
okay.
He brought in the electrician, and he ordered the, he put a notice of violation to the landlord saying that he wanted to inspect inside this. So the landlord had to comply with that. He did, in fact, hire an electrician and brought him in, and they looked in the ceiling. A few weeks later, I received the bill. I received an email first, and I received the bill. Saying,
Catherine, I've got to ask, Catherine, I have to ask you to pose your question, please.
Okay. My question is, he presented me with a bill of nearly $1,000.
Presented you with a bill?
Presented me with the bill.
Your landlord did?
Yes.
On what? And very briefly, why? What's his reasoning for that?
It was because he says the invoice is for the illegal installation of track lighting by my contractor in our bathroom.
He's claiming your contractor did something wrong.
Correct.
And this has caused the problem. Well, let me get some comments. We're really at this point, we're starting to run out of time.
Okay.
Stay on the line, and you can hear us okay, right?
Yes. Yes, I can hear you.
What comments do you have, I mean, Coy, on this situation?
Well, I'm assuming that, in fact, the track line was installed by the tenant way back when. No? You didn't install it or have it installed?
No.
Okay.
Okay. In fact, it was installed by the landlord and electrician, I think, in 1990, if I want to say 1990. Way back, you know, when we first...
Okay, all right. Okay. Catherine, let me get Coy to continue
then
here.
Okay, what I'm going to say is basically what I told the last caller. He owes you some money. Do not arbitrarily withhold it from the rent, because even though you have a right under repair and deduct, you know...
Catherine, okay. let Coy finish, please.
Okay.
Even though you have a right to repair and deduct, it's often a fool's journey to do that, because you end up defending an unlawful detainer and spending thousands of dollars to do so. The better thing to do is send him a demand letter for any money you're owed and go to small claims court to get it. And if he wants to claim you owe him money, let him go ahead. And if he wants to take you to small claims court, that's fine.
Catherine, we are just about out of time for the statewide version of the program, but I'm going to give you also a phone number to call. You need at this point to sit down with an attorney who represents tenants in landlord-tenant cases to get some. You pay for the San Francisco Bar Lawyer Referral Service $35 for half an hour. You need to do that. It's very critical. Here's the number. Can you write it down?
I'm writing it down.
All right, 415-989-1616. No, don't repeat, just 415-989-1616. And the other thing I want to tell you is we're doing Call a Lawyer tonight, and you can call and speak to one of two or both of them at different times who are landlord-tenant attorneys. You have so many questions and so many problems, but please don't just overdo it with these, because there are a lot of people who want to talk to them, but you're welcome to call and speak to one or the other of the landlord-tenant attorneys. And we just have to say that we've just about come to the end of the statewide version of the program. Thank you, Catherine, for calling. All right, it's 7:27 and a half at 91.7, your local public radio station, KALW in San Francisco. What I want to do is just let you know that this is our Call a Lawyer night. I want to let you know who's here. For off the air, you can speak to any one of these attorneys. The number is 1-800-525-9917. We do this every month. This is a terrific consumer service of these attorneys, who some of whom have done this for years. They are very devoted to this radio program and to you, the public. For workers' compensation law, Alice O'Sullivan, who's a certified specialist, former chair of the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar. For criminal law, certified specialist Jeff Hayden. For legal malpractice law, certified specialist Peter Fortune. For family law, is Jane here, by the way, Martin? Jane Assatuno? Supposedly Jane Assatuno is here. I don't know if she is or not, Martin, if you'd let me know. For landlord-tenant law, we have two attorneys because of the fact that we expect so many calls from you who are either tenants or landlords. Tad Devlin and Nathaniel Bigger are both here. And for tax law, real estate, and also he's a real estate broker, Frank Adam. And Frank will be my guest next week. We're going to talk about buying and selling homes, whether or not there's affordability remaining, considering in San Francisco the median price of buying a home is now $1 million. We'll also talk about the problem of failure to disclose defects in properties. So Frank will join me for that tomorrow. Certified specialist Leon Bayer will be available to talk with you if you're being hounded by creditors. Leon is a certified specialist in bankruptcy law. You might want to jot down his number. He'll be available tomorrow, Thursday, July 24th, from 8 a.m. to noon at 1-800-477-3111. 1-800-477-3111. If you call and get his voicemail, leave your name and phone number and say that you listen to Your Legal Rights and you'd like to talk to him, he'll be happy to call you back. His number again, 1-800-477-3111. And for Call a Lawyer tonight, it's 1-800-525-9917. 1-800-525-9917. And let me see. We have now, I think, who is it now? Okay, it's Greg. Greg, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Thank you very much for taking the call.
Sure.
And thanks for doing the show. It's great.
You're welcome.
Service. So I'll make this quick. I have kids that were in college in Santa Barbara in an apartment for 21 months. The building was new when they were there. And when they checked out, there was no – this is about a security deposit and what the rules are on payment.
Yeah, yeah.
And I saw some – and so the landlord charged them $550 for painting, and there was no damage. There was no holes, just, you know, maybe some pictures that had been hung, but nothing gouged or anything like that.
This is after 2 years, is that right?
After, yeah, 21 months.
Okay.
Almost 2 years.
All right.
And I saw it was – I looked at the Department of Consumer Affairs website, which talked about this prorating formula, but also sort of acknowledged it wasn't the law. I also looked at the California courts website and even the Civil Code section 1950.5, I think it is. And I'm just trying to understand what the rules are on when landlords can charge for painting and when they shouldn't be doing it.
Let me ask you this, Greg, very briefly. What was the security deposit totally that you had to put down for the kids?
It was pretty high because the expense, it was a little, it was about $5,600.
$5,600 was the security deposit?
Yeah, it was a full 2 months. And it was pretty expensive where they were.
So he has refunded to you, I presume, $5,050. Is that right?
Yeah, there were a couple other charges we aren't contesting that were minor things and not.
But he has refunded to you approximately somewhere in the neighborhood of $5,000. Is that right?
The difference. Correct.
Okay. All right. So, what thoughts do we have? Let me come to Sal on this. Sal, what thoughts do you have for Greg on this?
So, you know, the standard for the painting is going to be a reasonableness standard. When your daughter's left the unit, if they've got pictures, if they took any pictures, they could use those pictures to show the condition of the unit. Regular wear and tear is not something that is paid for out of the security deposit. This is something that would end up in small claims court if you chose to do something about it. And you'd want to submit some pictures because the landlord's going to have some pictures and probably sent you a receipt. Because I assume that you got the security deposit balance along with an accounting within 21 days of your daughter's leaving the unit, right?
Yeah, we got the statement that just said painting and patching.
Okay.
And but appeared to be the full bill for it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So to answer your question squarely, I think it's a reasonableness standard. If the place needed painting and the landlord was unreasonable, then can't keep the $550. But if it was reasonable, then he can keep it, and it's going to be a preponderance of the evidence. Who's more right than the other?
The other thing to consider is: did they offer your daughter or your son? I'm not sure which. A pre-move-out inspection.
Yeah, well, there was a – yes, correct. They did it together. Nothing was mentioned about painting. They said the place was
before the move-out.
So there was no indication.
Was it before the move-out?
Was there pre –
it was a new building?
No, listen, Greg, to the question. Was the inspection before the move-out?
It was at the same time. Everything was empty, and that was the last thing.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Under, as you pointed out, under 1950.5, the landlord is required to offer the tenants a pre-move-out inspection. If he didn't do that, there's at least some suggestion that they waived the right to the defects that they could have detected during that inspection. So I... You know,
how much period ahead of when the tenants leave are you supposed to give?
Two weeks. I believe it's two weeks.
Yeah. So it sounds like the landlord blew it, Greg.
Yeah, I wish they saw it that way, but they don't. But yeah, we're trying to.
No,
well, of course, the practical thing is what
I really appreciate it.
It's going to cost you money to drive or fly down to Santa Barbara for the hearing. And if the landlord's smart, he's going to not show up and then move to set aside the judgment. So the question is, do you just say, okay, it's cost of doing business and move on?
Yeah, I understand that, too. It's a little disappointing because if they do this to a lot of students, you know, there's punitive damages in that statute, but I don't get the sense the courts ever use them. And so, you know, this is the problem. Landlords can sort of take advantage of the situation.
That's not good.
Which is a little disappointing.
Not good. Sal, do you have any comments for him?
You know, because he got back the bulk of the security deposit and because of having to go to Santa Barbara, it probably makes more sense just to exchange a few letters and emails and see what the landlord says, but not to fight it, because you're going to end up putting more money into this than you can get back out.
You know, the other thing that I would suggest, Greg, is you might want to check with the Better Business Bureau that covers Santa Barbara and see if there are complaints that have been made against this landlord by perhaps other students. My thought on this, if there are, it may be, if you want to do this, and it's a simple matter of going to the computer and finding the Better Business Bureau for the Santa Barbara County, and then putting in the name of this landlord or the name of the corporation that has this. And if you find that there are a number of complaints that have been made on the failure to return security deposits, you may want to talk with someone in the Better Business Bureau and find out if they are sending this kind of information and these complaints to the Santa Barbara County DA's office, Consumer Protection Unit, because it may be that the DA's office would actually look, if it were me, and I'm a deputy DA for San Mateo County, if I had received complaints like that, a number of complaints that a landlord is failing to return security deposits, I would look into it with the idea of bringing perhaps a civil unfair competition lawsuit against him, with the idea of getting restitution or refunds for the students with respect to those security deposits. So I suggest you might want to do that.
That's a great idea. Thank you. I'll look into it.
Because this guy, if he's doing it to your kids, you're probably right. He's doing it to the others.
Right.
Okay. Well, good luck.
Thank you so much.
Take care. Nice to talk to you. Support for KALW is provided by the Bar Association of San Francisco. If you have a legal problem, you may need to talk to a lawyer. The San Francisco Bar Association's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange an appointment for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation. For a referral to a lawyer, please call 415-989-1616. That's 415-989-1616. If you're in San Mateo County, the San Mateo County Bar Association also has a lawyer referral service. You can call your own during normal business hours, 650-369-4149, 650-369-4149. If you're in any other county in California, every county has a bar association and lawyer referral service. You can call your own during normal business hours. I think you will probably get a human being, believe it or not, on the air, and at most of these on the phone, I should say, at most of these lawyer referral services. Tell them what the problem is. They'll do their best to find someone experienced for you and set you up for a half an hour consultation. Throughout California, for a half an hour consultation, the charge may be somewhere between $25 to $35. It's a great way to get some basic information. So good luck to all of you. I hope you don't have to do that, but it's a great way to get some initial consultation. All right. The number here for Your Legal Rights is 1-415-841-4134. For Call a Lawyer Night, it's 1-800-525-9917. And let's see, we've got, I think, Mary. Mary, welcome to the program.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
We signed, me and my husband, a lease, a year lease. And 8 months into the lease, we realized that we might have to leave earlier. I called the landlord, who is the house was in San Francisco, but the landlord is out of state. And he said, no problem, these things happen. Just if it happens, just make sure that you give me 30 days notice and there's no problem. So it happened that we needed to move out. I sent him an email, actually text an email to him and to his representative, to his agent, and I told him, I'm giving you 30 days notice. I need to move. And I haven't heard back, but I used to. He never returned the calls or emails, so it wasn't anything new. And But 2 weeks later, nobody came to see the place. So I called him and I said, what's going on? Why nobody's, he said, I don't know. Let me speak to the agent. The next thing I know is he tells me, I never gave you permission.
Oh, my. Okay.
And I said, of course you did. And I send you an email, I send you a text and an email, and it was before I even signed the other list. 3 days before I signed the other list, I expected if he said anything, no, I would not sign the lease because it was a lot of money, a lot of money.
What were you paying per month?
$6,500.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah. Oh, and wow. I had... 2 months deposit.
So Mary, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Have you moved out of the property, have you?
I moved out.
You moved out.
They came, they did an inspection, everything was okay, and then he said, I'm sorry, I didn't say it, and even though my husband was on the other line and heard it, and I immediately told my daughter.
Mary, let me interrupt, Mary. Yeah. Are you being sued by the landlord for the balance of the lease?
No. I moved 2 months ahead of time.
Ah.
And kept the 2 months security deposit, and they refused to give it back.
Okay, so that the security deposit that you paid to him was how much?
$12,500.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Wow.
And I'm out of that money.
Wow.
Because I
okay.
moved here.
So he refused. All right, he refuses to return that to you on the basis that he's claiming you breached the lease by leaving early. He never gave you permission to do so. Okay, let me get some comments. Mary, have you gone to an attorney?
No.
What county were you? Were you in California?
Yes.
What county?
Yes, in San Francisco.
Oh, okay. All right. Did you take down the phone number for the lawyer referral service for San Francisco?
Yeah.
You wrote it down?
Is it 989-1616?
That's right. Yeah. You need to see a lawyer face to face on this and try to get some initial advice of what to do, and an initial consultation with the lawyer referral service for San Francisco is like $35. But let me get some comments from Coy on this for you.
Okay. First of all, even if he successfully lies about not giving you permission, he still has a duty to mitigate his damages.
Yeah.
That means he has to act in a commercially reasonable way to find new tenants for that period. He can't just sit on his loss and let you pay for it. The other thing that I think comes out of this, and you know, certainly it's telling you this a little late, but for anybody else who's listening, what I tell people when they call me is, other than your mother, never do any business transaction without getting a receipt right then if you give money, and if you enter into an agreement, get a writing from the other person agreeing to that.
Yeah.
And if you can't get that, at least send them a certified letter that they're going to sign for saying, you know, where you say, this will confirm our agreement of so-and-so, where you agreed that I can do such-and-such. Because without that, people, you know, when there's money involved, they get unscrupulous. It seems here what happened most likely is his rental agent said, hey, you can actually keep this money if you just lie. And he said,
no.
Okay.
Yeah, that's no good.
I believe that what happened. He called his agent, and his agent told him, forget it.
You never
make an attempt to show the place.
Mary, you sent the owner, apparently, some emails. Is that right?
Yes, both emails and text.
Okay,
text
and you've kept copies of those?
Yes, I do.
Did the owner ever respond to any of your emails at all?
No.
Okay. And you did not send those emails, a copy of those emails, to the agent?
I did.
You did?
I just got the same email, yes.
Did the agent respond at all?
No, none of them responded.
Oh, they're wonderful. They're just wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Sal, do you have any comments for her?
Well, Mary, you've got a proof problem. Right? Because you're going to say your side of the story and they're going to completely contradict it. The mitigation of damages is tough for you because it's only 2 months and you're supposed to give 30 days notice, and he
She said she wanted to leave in 8 months, and it was a one-year lease. So you left at the end of 8 months, is that right?
No, I left at the end of 10 months.
At the end of eight months, I told him I might have to leave. Okay,
I
all right.
Okay. It's going to happen.
All right, let me go back to Sal, please.
So with the 30 days notice and then the last 30 days of the tenancy that you didn't occupy the unit, the landlord mitigated the damages, basically.
Mary, let's listen to Sal, please. We only have so much time. Go ahead, Sal.
But because you have your own emails, which may be considered self-serving because you wrote them, you know, to suit the situation, you might be able to use those to put together a story that shows that you left on the representation that you could. It's certainly worth a try because we're talking about, you know, $12,000. It's only 2 months' rent, but it's $12,500. So in the scheme of months of rent, it may not be a lot of months, but it's a lot of money.
But, you know, Mary, I think it's crucial for you, and you, it sounds like you haven't done this yet. You really need to call the lawyer referral service for San Francisco, make an appointment to meet with an attorney who represents tenants in landlord-tenant cases, and they'll give you somebody who's been experienced. You'll have at least a half an hour consultation. It'll cost you $35. It's a good way to start, but don't be, you know, if you're going to pursue this at all, don't be penny wise and dollar foolish. Don't do that. Okay, we're going to move on, Mary. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Okay, take care. All right. We have Call a Lawyer Night. A few more minutes left, about 14 minutes left. If you'd like to talk to any of the people, I'm going to give their names to you. That number, 1-800-525-9917. 1-800-525-9917. And I want to thank, as I do so often, for their tremendous support of Call a Lawyer Night. Alice O'Sullivan for Workers' Compensation, Certified Specialist, former Chair of the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar. Jeff Hayden, Criminal Law. He has been the Chair of the Criminal Law Advisory Commission for the Board of Legal Specialization. He is the President-Elect of the San Mateo County Bar Association. Legal Malpractice Law, Certified Specialist, Peter Fortune. Landlord-Tenant Law, a gentleman who have been with us at least several times, Tad Devlin and Nathaniel Bigger. For tax law, real estate, and also a real estate broker, Frank Adam, who will be my guest next week on this program to talk about buying and selling homes. And then tomorrow, if you're being hounded by creditors, Leon Bayer, certified specialist in bankruptcy law, will be available to talk with you by phone on his 800 number between 8 a.m. to noon. And that's tomorrow, Thursday, July 24th, 1-800-477-3111. 1-800-477-3111. If you call and get his voicemail, leave your name and phone number and that you were listening to Your Legal Rights, and he'll call you back. So good luck to all of you. And now we have Christy. Welcome to Your Legal Rights. Christy, are you there?
Hi, thanks. Glad to take your call.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I have a situation. I live in a building with 19 units. And it was recently sold, and the new owner immediately started work remodeling almost all the units. And some people, I think, moved out. And anyways, there's been for 2 months no water during the day.
And you're living... Wait a minute. Wait, Christy, you're living there right now?
Yeah, there's seven or eight tenants that currently live at an active construction site.
And you have no water?
During the hours of 9:30 to 3 p.m. daily for 2 months.
No water during that period of time?
Yeah, and the new landlord isn't, like, he just doesn't seem very kind. And apparently, I mean, it's been really, really tough. It's a really cramped life to not, I mean, there's...
Are you, Christy, do you know, are you in San Francisco?
I'm in Oakland.
You're in Oakland. Are you covered by the rent ordinance there? Do you know?
Am I covered by the what?
The rent ordinance. Is there a rent ordinance that covers the building you're in? Do you know?
Yes.
There is.
Like rent control, yeah.
Okay, there is rent control. All right. And what are you paying per month for your tenancy there?
It's like $850.
$850 for a...
Yes.
How many bedrooms in that unit?
It's a one-studio apartment.
One-studio apartment. And
yeah.
And you're complaining that you don't have water between 9:30 and 3 p.m.? Is that what you're complaining, or is there another complaint?
Well, the problem has resolved now. I've just for the past 2 months, this has been the situation because they redid all the pipes in this old building with like new pipes, and so to do the work on all of the units, all 19 units, consecutively, I guess.
Okay, but what is your question for my guests? We have to get to your question, please.
My question is that it has been a huge harassment and so disturbing to live in a noisy, filthy construction site and having to endure that lack of service. And what is the value of that water?
Okay.
And it's like, I think it should be deducted from the rent.
Good point.
And what do you think about that? Because it's like hugely been a problem.
We got an answer for you.
Okay, you got to listen, Christy, to the response you're going to get now, please.
Okay. If you contact the Oakland Rent Board, they may be able to help you off the top of my head. I don't know if they do reduction of service, rent reductions like they do in San Francisco and Berkeley. If they do not, pick a number, send a demand letter to the landlord, and then go to small claims court.
Yeah,
I agree.
So, yeah, both of my guests.
The demand letter should be signed by all the tenants. Does that give it strength?
No, deal with your own business. This is not collective enterprise.
Yeah, you know. Again, for you too, Christy. Did you get the phone number for the Alameda County Bar Association?
Is that the 415 number?
No. Okay. Are you ready to write?
Go ahead.
Okay, Alameda County Bar, 510-302-2222.
Okay.
And you need to call them and see if you can get an appointment with an attorney who represents tenants over there in Alameda County. Half an hour, it's going to cost $35. It's a great way for you to educate yourself and see what course you should take.
All right. Okay, great. I mean, but have you ever heard of any, in other counties, this is possible?
What do you mean, what possible? What's happened to you?
Reduction of service.
Well, sure. Sure, there's reduction of service, unfortunately, that happens with some frequency.
There's a civil code section as well that deals with habitability. Running water is a requirement under state law.
Yeah.
It's Civil Code Section 1941.
1941.
You might want to Google that and just take a look at it.
Yeah.
That would be the basis of your small claims case. You know, let's call it the ordinances call it a decrease in services. State law calls it more of a habitability.
Yeah, basically the same thing. You know, Christy, one of the other things that you might want to consider, and please call and get an appointment with an attorney who represents tenants over there for at least half an hour. The other thing is, with a small claims court for most counties, in spite of all of the funding problems, for small claims there are legal advisors, and usually it has been attorneys. And so what you want to do is do some research and contact the clerk's office for Alameda County, small claims court, and find out when the small claims advisor is available. And you can go whenever that is at your convenience if you have other questions and talk with the small claims advisor to find out how the small claims court works. And that would be very valuable for you to do.
Okay. All
okay.
Right.
Good luck to you. Good luck. I want to take one more call. Good luck, Christy.
Thanks a lot.
Take care. All right. Victor, you've got the last say. Go ahead. Victor, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Well, you're on the air, my friend.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I've been living in this place for 3 years. Well, my landlord, I owe him like back rent. My landlord always come and open my door on me because of I owe him back rent and turn my lights on and step in my room and ask me for his rent. That has been going on for quite a while.
So you're saying if you're late on the rent, your landlord comes into your apartment? And
I'm not late. I owe him back rent. I owe my landlord back rent.
Okay, but what's your question now?
My landlord always come in. He always come with an extra key.
Okay.
Open my room door. Yeah. Stand inside my room. Yeah. Ask me for his rent.
Okay.
My landlord have the right to open my door.
Okay. What city do you live in, Victor?
I live in San Francisco.
Okay. All right. And how much are you paying for your unit per month?
Just a room. I pay like $620.
$620.
Yes.
So your landlord is what? The owner of this? Are you living in someone's home?
Yes.
You are. Okay. So you're living in someone's home, and you have your door to your room. You have a lock on that door?
Yes, sir.
And your landlord just unlocks the door to come in and say, where's my rent, right?
Yes, sir. You have been going on for quite a long time.
Okay. Let me get... Victor,
I'm going back rent. You always listen. You're going to tell me. You're going to keep on opening my door.
Yeah, I got you. I got you.
Money.
Let me get some comments for you, Victor. Listen to what my guests have to say. Let me start with Sal. Go ahead, Sal.
Okay, so you're entitled to 24-hour written notice before your landlord can come into your room because your room is your unit. You have a lock on it to keep others out, including the landlord. And even with a 24-hour notice, there has to be a reason for the notice, and the reason can't be to collect rent. It's got to be another reason, like to make repairs or to show the unit to a prospective tenant or to a purchaser of the property. It can't be to collect rent. So you should tell him that you don't want him to come into your unit anymore. He sounds like he's a roommate. Is that right?
Yeah. Your
landlord's a roommate. You guys live in the same house?
No, my landlord, he doesn't even live in the house. He lives in a different place.
Oh, he lives in a different...
So he comes into the common area and then comes into your room.
Yeah.
Into my home. Because
that's unacceptable.
He's breaking the law. He's breaking the law and breaking your lease.
Coy, tell him what he should do.
Yeah.
I'm from Philly, so what to do, sir, comes to me in a different
without
way.
Without a bat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Without a bat.
Wait a minute.
Bat.
Wait a minute. Wait
no,
a minute.
We're more high tech than that.
No, Victor, stop. Victor. Victor, stop talking. Victor, stop talking. Take him off. I want him to turn his radio back on so he can hear what Coy has to say, because we're just about out of time.
I mean, I agree with everything Sal said. I would send him a letter, again, certified mail. We got to keep the post office going, telling him not to do this. And the next time he does it, anyhow, call the police.
Yeah. And the other thing, Victor, I hope you are listening. Unfortunately, we're running out of time, and you kept talking over my guest, Coy, who was trying to give you advice, and unfortunately, we just can't do that. I suggest you also call the Lawyer Referral Service for the San Francisco Bar Association. Be willing to pay $35 to sit down with an attorney who represents tenants, and please write this number down, 415-989-1616, 415-989-1616. You just got to do this to protect yourself. We have run out of time, gentlemen, and I thank you very much for joining us.
Always a pleasure.
Coy, thank you for having us.
You are both terrific. Both of these gentlemen have been very supportive of this program for years. James Coy Driscoll represents tenants exclusively.
You bet.
His offices are in San Francisco. Salvatore Timpano represents primarily landlords.
That's right.
Occasionally a tenant. His offices are also in San Francisco. Thank you both very much.
Thank you, Chuck.
And thank you, everyone, for listening to the program and also joining us for Call a Lawyer Night. Your legal rights production staff members are program engineer Joanne Marr and production assistant Martin McLean. This segment of Your Legal Rights has been funded by the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, the San Mateo County Bar Association. Additional funding for Your Legal Rights is made possible by the Trust and Estate Section of the State Bar, the Labor and Employment Law Section of the State Bar, and the California Applicants Attorneys Association. Next week, if you're in the process of either buying or selling a home, we're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about affordability. We're going to be talking about reporting defects. My guest will be Frank Adam, real estate and tax attorney, and also real estate broker. So join us then. Thank you very much for listening to Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney.
Thank you.